Parenting is already difficult, but there are certainly some things we can do to make it even more difficult.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J. You just confirmed the reality that parenting is hard. We never thought it would be this hard. It has its nice moments, obviously, and it's a privilege above all, but it can be so difficult. So I hope at least we can bring up some hope.
Oh, yeah. And encouragement. Absolutely. And, you know, somebody some time ago heard me make the statement, high school is the most fun I ever had. And I didn't mean my high school. I meant my kids' high school. I laughed so hard. Were they perfect? No, my kids are awesome, but they weren't perfect. But I think it's because Rosemary helped us do the things we needed to do, preschool, elementary, and middle school. We put a system together that we could jump in and have fun with our kids and have realistic expectations. I think for me, I was initially terrified of being a parent because I worked at Sheridan House. I came to Sheridan House and worked from 1974 to, and Tori was born in 79. So I was here 5 years before we had kids. And
don't you think that kind of prepared you, though? I mean, didn't you think,
absolutely,
oh, I got this?
Absolutely. I think somebody made a statement, a pastor made a statement where many of the Crossways, where many of our people go to church that work here at Sheridan House, and John Ellswick, the pastor, made the statement, the kids from Sheridan House employees are so amazing. I mean, do you guys drink special water or what do you do? And I said, I think it's easier when you do, quote, parenting before they're actually yours. Your heart is in it, but it's not in it all the way. You realize this is a ministry to these kids. And we also have the realization Sheridan House does a lot of things. One of the things we do, though, other than very large counseling center and a single mom center and a curriculum center, but we have children's homes. And so if you work in the children's homes, you know the kids are coming needing help. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, the reason it was scary for me is, yes, I got to do parenting before I had children, but I saw all the dysfunction coming here, and it was like, oh, my goodness. And I think I was terrified for a while because my whole professional life, if that's right, or ministry life, I worked for the state of Florida for almost 3 years referring people. In fact, that's how I got to Sheridan House. I referred people, and I was looking for some kind of Christian ministry that would do residential care, and found this little house in Hollywood called Sheridan House and filled the house and begged for the job and begged for the job. And they were here 5 years before me and had five directors in 5 years. And I, you know, they wouldn't hire me. I wouldn't have hired me back then either, but they wouldn't hire me. And then by default, no one else wanted the job and they were in bad shape. And so they had to hire me. They had nobody else.
And look where we are now.
And I will graduate from Sheridan House one day. I'm the ultimate kid at Sheridan House.
What's funny is you were, you know, in a boys' home for so long. So what happened then when your firstborn was a girl?
Terrified. Absolutely.
Do you think that terrified you more than
just
being a parent?
Oh, yes. Because think about it. I grew up in a home. My mom died, so it was my dad and boys. There was no girls. I had no idea what to do with girls. And then I marry this hyper-feminine girl called Rosemary, and her middle name is perfect. Her middle name is Delight. Rosemary Delight Johnson.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, people make fun of that all the time. And she is. She's just a delight. But, you know, she didn't play sports, and she doesn't get my razor tongue at my friends and often says, how do you have any friends? You have like hundreds and hundreds of friends and you're so nasty to them with your mouth. And she stood in the back. You know, earlier this morning, we had the men's Bible study here at Sheridan House, and we're just killing each other in that Bible study. It's podcast out, and guys, you know, small groups of men use it all over the country. I may be in their city, and they'll come and say, that's the most hilarious group of men I've ever heard. I can't even believe what they scream back at you, and it's recorded. And that's what we don't delete from the recording, yes. But I think having a little girl, it was so different that I didn't know what to do. And there were times when she didn't get it. And there were times when her little brother from about 2 years old on, my master bath showers up against his bedroom. And when he would hear me early in the morning taking a shower, he'd run down the hall, ripping off his diaper, which wasn't always pleasant, and jump in the shower with me. And that was kind of our thing. Mm-hmm. And it was fun. It was very fun. And Tori, you know, it was hard. How come I can't do that? And explaining you can't do it. These are boys. These are girls. But having the privilege of being in a children's home, working in a children's home, prepared me for there are some things we don't do. There are some things you can do to make parenting harder. And one of the things at Sheridan House is when you refer your child to Sheridan House, we have a statement that we make. And the statement is, it's $2,800 a month to have your child here, unless you come to parent meetings. You come to parent meetings, it's on a serious sliding scale. And I mean, with some parents, we end up giving them more than, you know, we feed the family. But if you don't want to come, it's $2,800 a month. And we will really actually never let anybody pay $2,800 a month. If you don't want to come, we're trying to make a point. If you don't want to come to the parent meetings, we're the wrong place for you, because there are some things you may be doing that are the wrong things, and we want to send the child home to a different home. And so what we do is we teach that to the parents on Thursday nights, and then the children go home on Friday night, every Friday night, with a prescription to the parent to practice what we've taught you Thursday night, and to practice the child, to practice the impulse control we've taught the child. There are some things in our culture, because grandma doesn't live down the street anymore, your siblings don't live around you or all on the same farm anymore or compound or little village. And in that world of the past, you had aunts and uncles that weren't even your aunts and uncles, but you called them uncle, you know, Uncle Andy, and you didn't even know they were.
There are some places in Hialeah where that kind of does exist a little
That's,
bit.
Well, there's Miami. An upside and a downside to that, yes. Yes, the upside is they're all in. The downside is they're really too all in. But I'll take the all in. You know, you and I were talking before we went on air about, and I guess without saying, I'm basically saying I'm an Italian or Latin wannabe, because family's so unbelievably important. And I know that in-laws can get way overboard in your life, but I'll take the up instead of the down, because they'll say things like, you know, you need to deal with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I know that these other Anglos do that, but, and we need somebody to say that. And I guess that's kind of, we're being in-laws today on the air. We're going to be a father, and you're my daughter's age, so you can be a daughter-in-law or aunt, whatever you want to be, saying there are some things you need to do with your child, and there are some things you don't need to do. Parenting is really, really difficult as it is, but not undoable. And high school is fun, and I would have to say my son's my best friend today, and a pastor just 5 miles away from my house. And so, you know, it's a wonderful time. But if we don't do the things we need to do, and if we do some things we shouldn't do, it's going to be difficult, and the child's going to have to do what many children in our culture today have to do. They have to spend their 20-somethings learning the hard way, the things they didn't learn, which we wouldn't want that for anybody.
And we say that, but then we don't realize that it really is hard when you see your child lose a job, when they can't manage relationships and you can't understand why, and you trace it back to, oh, we never taught this in the house
and
stuff.
Absolutely. I mean, if I don't do it, then their first spouse or their first employer will have to do it the hard way. And those are serious consequences. So there need to be consequences now handled in a way. And there needs to be an expectation of, we're heading towards this behavior. We have an expectation of this behavior. We can't be day-to-day parents. We can't be, let's just exist and let's do whatever we can to get her out of the house not pregnant. Let's do whatever we can to get him out of the house not making somebody pregnant. Let's do whatever we can to whatever their greatest fear is, rather than let's try to build this human being rather than live in fear of this human being till they're 18 and get him out. There are some things, but without realizing it, there are some things parents do that make parenting much, much, much harder than it needs to be.
Let's go down this list then. Maybe what are some little details that you can share with us?
I think there are 5 basic categories.
Okay.
Initially you see on the outline it said 20, but I think there are 5 overriding categories. And today, and we've talked about this before, there are issues of authority we have to take on. I have to choose to be an authority figure in my child's life, and I have to choose to teach my child how to handle authority properly, and I need to teach my child to become his or her own disciplinarian eventually. Rosemary, my wife, spends one day a week taking care of the baby. And then Tuesday night, she has this monster ladies' Bible study, and Wednesday morning, the ladies' Bible study, and then Thursdays is when she takes care of what we affectionately refer to as the thugs. The thugs come, the 2-year-old and the 4-year-old. Tori's awesome,
so
awesome
cute.
Boys. Oh, yeah, they are cute. And, you know, Reuben and Judah, she's working on the 12 tribes. I just hope she doesn't do all 12, Reuben and Judah. So that Reuben and Judah come over, and they're awesome because Judah is 2 and Judah is passionate. It's not that he's necessarily, I've seen rebellious children. He's passionate. When he wants it, he wants it. And we have had to help him with that passion. And watching the cloud come over his face.
It's nice that you label it passion, because some parents think God must have given me the most hard-headed child on the planet. And one lady said that to me about her granddaughter. And I said, well, you know, that's the good making of a leader if you can, you know, steer it the right
way. That's right. Every child a leader. And that passion is easier than my pleaser child. My pleaser child was my son. he's an awesome leader today. We had a lot of work to do because he didn't want to hurt people's feelings. And, you know, I remember when he was president of the student body or senior class, can't remember which, at his high school. And he had some very strong people on his council. And it was great. I mean, he would come home and get on his drum set, furious. We'd hear him upstairs. And I realized, okay, he's having to make a decision. But he's a leader with a heart. He's probably one of the best leaders I know today. I've called him for some input because he has a bigger heart than I do. And Tori was a passionate person. You know, there's a strong-willed child and there's two kinds. There's the strong-willed angry child. And it's just strong-willed, I'm going to get my way. And then there's the strong-willed Tori. That was a strong-willed passionate child. And the passionate child, I mean, Tori really, when she really believed in her heart it was right, or really believed as Judah that it's right for me to have that. Mm-hmm. It's right for me to touch that. It's right for me to grab that. And so there are some things we take out of his path. You know, we Judahize the house. But there's some things we leave in his path.
For the sake of teaching him?
Oh, yeah, to teach him, yeah. I mean, the cat's terrified of him. Oh, yeah. And so we put up the little gate, and Judah passionately wants to have to touch, to hold, to pick up that cat. We can practice a little bit, but he can't pick up the cat like he picks up his Doberman. Tori has a massive 100-and-whatever-pound Doberman, and they've worked it out. You know, and Judah just loves that dog. He loves that dog. He pulls on that dog. That dog will die for him. That dog is perfectly disciplined for that child. But we have to help him learn you can't get all the things you want, because eventually, you know, there will be an age where he's going to drive a car and he has to learn, though that guy is challenging me in that other car, though I'm late and I would like to, though it's kind of fun. You see those guys out on the highway that fly by you. I had one fly by me coming out of Miami last night at 9 o'clock. He had to be doing 100 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. And yeah, he's going to kill himself. So there's a respect for authority we have to put in place. Mm-hmm. That respect for authority means I can't cave in. I have to be consistent.
It's so hard. We think that caving in is showing love. And,
oh, well said.
You know, like, well, you know, it's all right. Let me let them off the hook when, I guess it depends on their age. Well, they'll understand that you did leave them off the hook, or that they can just walk over you. I mean, how does that work?
Well, I think you ingrain in their mind, if I press and press and press, you cave in, and life doesn't cave in like that. And I'm going to tell you, as a parent, sometimes it's easier to cave in because you're exhausted. And okay, I'm tired of dealing with this. But as a grandparent, it's easier to cave in because you love them. I mean, I loved my children, but I got it. With my grandparent, you kind of think, okay, I'm off. And how many I'm off duty now. It's my grandchildren. And it's the joke with Tori and I. She is, without a doubt, one of the best parents I've ever seen. And so I'll be getting lectures. Dad, we've already said no.
You gave him the whole bar of chocolate.
Yeah, now you're nailing it. It was a whole Snickers bar. Dad, he's supposed to get just a half. And so, right, I had to back up and realize I'm helping raise this child. I'm not indulging myself.
Right.
And so I've got to decide I need to be consistent. I can't cave in with the 2-year-old, with the 5-year-old, with the child, with the teen. Don't cave in. It's part of the training process. I need to not let them disrespect authority, other authority figures. I need to let them not say things about other coaches or whatever. Unacceptable. Or their teacher or anybody. I need to teach them to respect authority. Why can't I do that? And as a grandparent, I say, because your mom said so. Well, you – no. In this case, we're concerning you. I'm under your mom's authority here. You too? You have to listen to her? Yes, under the because you are directly under her authority and she's under God's authority. And I need to not break that authority. You know, maybe I may talk to Tori about it later if I disagree, which hasn't happened. I mean, I get it. And she would even say, Dad, you were so with us and now you're such a mush. You got to get it together. And so I get it.
Come on, Grandpa.
Yeah, come on. Pick it up here. One of the 5 things I need to know is if I don't teach them respect for authority from a beginning at 18 months and going on straight to high school and then having them respect God's authority enough because they understand the chain of command, if I don't do that, I am making parenting so much harder.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm Ruthie J., your host, and tomorrow we'll continue this list of 5 ways to make parenting more difficult than it already is. I hope you can join us for that. If you missed any part of today's program or you want to share it with someone else, you can do that easily online at parentingonpurpose.org. Or if you want to find out more about Sheridan House Family Ministries and all the different aspects that Dr. Barnes covered, the children's homes, the counseling center, single mom center, you can find that online at shfm.org. Hope you join us tomorrow here on Parenting on Purpose.